Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I'm your host, Brandon Anyert.
And I am Aiden Wood.
Who's also a host.
I'm a host, too! Guys, also, I have a confession to make.
You make the confession.
Okay. So I've been holding this in my heart for the past 20-ish minutes since I got on the call with Brandon to record this episode. I'm on my third... The confession is that I'm on my third beer right now because I forgot that we were recording. And I started getting kind of drunk.
It's because you see a bit, just a bit buzz. So that's okay. We've been there before. We've been there before. And there was something too that I was going to talk about right off the bat. We were talking about, MLS Cup, right? So yes. Before we started recording, I was at the MLS Cup this past weekend, something I've been dreaming about since I can, far back as I can remember. But I was asking Aiden what MLS stood for. And so far the guesses were, what was the first one?
Master League Soccer.
Master League Soccer. And the second one was Men's League Soccer?
Yeah, because I guessed Master League Soccer. And then Brandon said it was really close to the right answer. So I guessed Men's League Soccer. And then Brandon was like, no. So I still don't know what MLS stands for. I think it is soccer, though.
Well, I love that Master League Soccer has this sort of like, Master League Soccer.
As soon as I said it, I started thinking about Master Chief from Halo.
See, I was thinking, like, what was the, there used to be that video game, it was like, I don't know, like Tekken or Street Fighter, where it'd be like, and that's the voice that came through my head, in my head.
Okay.
You know, like, Master League Soccer. So it is soccer, you are right.
Okay, cool.
But no, it's not nearly as cool as Master League Soccer. It is Major League Soccer.
Oh, well, you know, I was so close.
Very close.
I was so close.
But yeah, I was so for, you know, we all, every once in a while, a little bit of sports sneaks in here. And it was actually.
Every once in a while, a little sports sneaks into this podcast.
I should really have a sports podcast so I
you
can spare everyone on.
You should have a sports podcast. Stop inflicting your sports
right.
on all of these innocent people who are just interested in politics and veganism. Like, come
but
on.
But remember, though. Earlier on this year, we talked about how with the Emerald City supporters, who are the Seattle Sounders supporters group, they had the Iron Front flying in their fan section, which is an anti-Nazi sign and or logo. And they had that flag flying, and then the MLS, which is what we just talked about, Major League Soccer, they said we couldn't fly it anymore, and we said, we're going to do it anyway. And we actually got the okay, at least through the end of the season and the playoffs. So right there at the MLS Cup this weekend, two Iron Front flags waving proudly in the Royal Brown side. And it was incredible because I've been a fan of the Sounders since before they became an MLS team, because they were in the NASL, they were in various different leagues before the MLS. And then when they joined the MLS in 2009.
Oh, this year.
Really quick.
This year.
2009. I went to, I believe it was like the third game that they ever played. And, I was, you know, I've always been hooked on soccer, but of course I fell in love with the team. And, a decade now, and it's how my friend over at Lemonade Magazine, who we talk about, not just my friend, one of my best friends and my business partner over there. That's how we actually first met in person. We first met in person going to a Seattle Sounders Portland Timbers game. And so he and I, we've gone to a lot of games together, more recently with his now wife, Jess, and we got to go to the MLS Cup together. By the way, tickets were going for like $250+, and thankfully his sister had a hookup, so we got to go for free.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was awesome. We ended up winning 3-1 over Toronto. It was crazy, too, because somebody like me who has Canadian family, I get to hear both the Canadian and American anthems before the game. And it was incredible. We 3-1, and I always say I feel so dumb because I'm like not an emotional dude, but like it was so crazy.
Pretty emotional dude in some ways.
Like, some ways, yeah.
Okay.
And as I get older, especially, but it was really overwhelming for somebody like myself who loves sports so much. And I was like, there was this moment where this local guy, Jordan Morris, he's from Seattle. Seattle area, and he walked off in front of 70,000 fans, and just all, you know, standing up and cheering for him. And we had a 2-0 lead at that point. And it was like, yeah, just crazy. And I was like telling my mom on the way home, and I start to like tear up, and I'm like, I'm so dumb, mom. I'm sorry. and it was just incredible. So anyways, that was my weekend, and I had to share that because that's all I've been talking about for the last
week. Sounds like a really nice weekend.
Yeah.
And you know what I've been up to lately?
What have you been up to, Aiden?
I got a banjo.
Ah, you did get a banjo!
I got a banjo!
I saw you playing one at, I believe, whatever place you were at.
Guitar
on your
Center.
Instagram. Yeah, Guitar Center. I have one just down the street from me. And I can actually walk to ours.
Took me an hour and a half bus ride to get there after I broke one of my strings. Yeah, I had a friend drive me to get the banjo, and then that night I was too enthusiastic with the tuning, broke one of the strings.
Oh, first thing I did when
yes,
I had.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. Yeah. But hey, I actually know how to play one song on the banjo. Can I play it for you?
Absolutely, but I want to ask you a question just quickly.
Okay.
So let me just get this straight. You drove an hour and a half to get the string.
I took the public bus.
Okay. You
get an hour and a half.
Okay.
After with my banjo on the bus to get two sets of strings and to get it restrung so that I could play it at all. And I also got a capo and finger picks.
Capo. Would you like me
fucking musician over here. Gotta correct my pronunciation.
Would you like me to, please, next time, just call up your old friend Brandon. I will next day ship a banjo string to you, Aiden, so you don't have to drive an hour and a half.
I took the bus.
I took the bus, same thing.
It's not the same thing at all.
So you don't have to ride the bus for an hour and a half to get a banjo string, Aiden. Gosh.
I got two sets of banjo strings and a capo and finger picks, okay? And I had some very pleasant interactions with people on the public bus.
Okay, that's...
Anyways, let me play you this one fucking song.
Okay. Let's hear this one fucking song. What is it called?
I gotta actually open the case. Also, banjos are way more expensive than people think they are. Like,
yes, they are.
I thought it'd be about like $200, like $150 to $200 based on what I was seeing on Amazon. This banjo costs like $300, and then the case cost $100. I'm dead inside, guys.
No, you're not dead inside because you have a banjo. I'm pointing as if people can see. My Yamaha guitar, I think, was $400. And then my little traveling guitar that I got after the car accident because I couldn't move my wrist, I think it was like $150 or something.
Also, look at
that beauty.
I know, it's so pretty.
I love the banjo, the fact that like on the front of them, the face, is like, oh, it's just the most beautiful. What a beautiful instrument. Gosh.
Yes, and so obviously like our podcast listeners cannot see my beautiful sexy
I can put
banjo.
This on Instagram.
Yes,
oh, no, that's right.
Oh,
that's right. We're not doing that, though, because we're doing a new way of recording. Dang it.
Oh, right. We're not recording this. Okay, yeah.
It's okay. We'll find a way, everybody, one of these days.
No, we're not. One of these days, yeah. But okay, I'll post a photo on Instagram or something. I'll send photos to Brandon.
Yeah, there you go. There we go. Yeah, we'll post Aiden's banjo on our Instagram.
Also, this is wicked out of tune, so I apologize. Also, it's 11:37 p.m., so I gotta play it real quietly.
Yeah, it's okay.
This is out of tune, but this is a song that I know how to play.
Okay.
Oops, that's not... Also, I'm drunk a
little bit. Okay. Even Paul McCartney had times like that.
Paul McCartney. What?
Have you ever heard I've Just Seen a Face? He's tuning
no,
at the beginning
I'm gonna
of
drink
it.
More beer real quick before I actually start playing.
You definitely need more of that.
So badly. Yeah, this is gonna be the greatest episode of all fucking time. Okay.
This is beautiful. Okay, I'm gonna guess what that song was.
Okay.
Is that Is that Fürlis by Tchaikovsky? No, wait, was Fürlis Mozart? Oh my
no,
god.
No, it was Beethoven, you dumb fuck.
Beethoven. There's going to be so many classical... I know it was Beethoven.
Oh yeah, also fun fact of the banjo is that in addition to being a stringed instrument, a banjo is also a drum. Did you know that?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Oh god, what a sound. See, that's worth every penny of $300.
Yeah, because I don't have the $300. I don't actually have any of those pennies. I had to put it on my credit card.
Worth it. I just bought a Nintendo Switch on my credit card. It's not a percussion instrument. I also
know four chords. Can I play you the four chords I know?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the open G chord.
Yeah. That's when you don't have to touch anything.
Yes. Wait. It's out of tune also. This is the worst podcast ever.
No, this is great because you're going to edit it, so I don't have to worry about it.
Anyway,
was that like a C?
There was a G, a C, a D7, and an E minor.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the worst podcast that of all time, and now it has a banjo segment and a sports segment.
We're gonna title this one Aiden's Drunk and Aiden has a banjo. Drunk.
What did you say?
Aiden's Drunk and Has a Banjo.
Aiden is drunk and that's the best title ever.
Yeah, that's
for the
title's
best
gonna
podcast
be.
Episode ever.
Believe it or not, everybody, we usually talk about politics, and actually more frequently, I think this is like our way of coping with the way the world is right now, is we've actually stopped talking about politics, and,
It honestly might be.
By the way,
I had someone on my stream last night, my live stream, also, hi guys, I live stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/AidenWood.
Yes, go check that out.
Link in the description. I had somebody on my stream last night to talk, and he's, like, more right-wing. He's, I believe, a Trump supporter, but, like, more libertarian. And he works at a private insurance company, so we had a really long discussion about Medicare for All. Because he, like, lives in a small community where almost everybody in the community works at the same insurance company. It's, like, one of those, like, communities that's very much supported by a single industry. And so, like, he had a lot of concerns about, like, oh, if we get rid of private insurance companies, like, the entire community could, like, die. Like, it could go under. So we had, like, a really engaged discussion about that. And, I mean, like, I am still on the side of Medicare for All. But I feel like it was also good to hear his perspective and, like, move. Is it because I think that, like, hearing those perspectives helps you, like, incorporate that need in. Take that need into consideration, like, make sure that you're, prioritizing in part, like, how are these, like, entire communities going to survive, like, if we take away their source of income, you know?
Well, and there's a similar discussion here when it comes to refineries, so it is a obviously, you know, everybody needs to give their side as well. It's unfortunately a tactic that comes up all the time, and it's, Or how do I say tactic? That's probably wrong of me. It's an argument we hear a lot, and the problem is that although I totally understand that losing an economy or even losing a livelihood and a family is a scary thought, something scary to process. We as people in other different forms of employment and other different jobs and careers and industries, we all face that every day as well. Nobody ever goes to the retail worker, oh my God, what if this place closes down? They're going to lose their job. Nobody seems to ever care about that. They only care about certain industries that have a stranglehold. And the fears of those, I mean, that's my opinion at least. And hopefully if we did things right, and if you look at these other things that we're suggesting, which is guaranteed employment as well, or even UBI potentially, what the hope would be is that people would be more likely to be back on their feet in these situations. We talked about the refineries as well, and actually, you know, there was a kind of a war waged here in where I live, because we have several refineries here in Whatcom County and Skagit County. And with the recent election, the refineries put out a lot of money against the more liberal candidates. And the unfortunate part is that money is really coming down from corporate, right? So it's pitting local refineries against the community. and it's putting them against each other. And in a sense, they're just putting the community against each other because there are so many people with ties to the refineries that then they, even some centrists and or even left-swinging refinery families, will suddenly switch to the other side because they feel their livelihoods are at stake. And that's totally understandable. And the unfortunate part is that we know that we have to coexist and make sure that refinery workers are going to be okay. We need to make sure those families are okay. Nobody wants to see, especially not those of us on the progressive side of things, want to see homeless population get worse or see poverty get worse in this country. The what it all comes down to is making sure that we take the right steps, whether it be offering retraining and green jobs and that kind of thing. And we also know, by the way, that refineries are in no way in danger of being obsolete here.
And also, with respect to green jobs, also making sure that the green jobs are like unionized. You know, like a lot of like a lot of like coal jobs and like jobs at refineries, like those are often union jobs. And a lot of the renewable energy industry is just not unionized yet.
Right.
And so, I mean, like, when, like, people are considering, like, it's even if, like, they can take a solar energy job, if they take a job like that, they'll, like, often, like, get less pay, they won't have, like, bargaining power, they may not have the same kind of benefits that they would have at a job at a refinery, so.
Yeah.
I mean, like, those are also important things to take into consideration.
And with the insurance, it's a little bit different. I totally understand that. But with, you know, like, for instance, I was talking to my aunt today because my uncle works for a refinery. And, you know, and we were both talking about it and saying that it's unfortunate what corporate does to, you know, to communities, because that they spent here, they spent not the refinery that my family's associated with, but Phillips 76 spent $70,000 on local races here, and which is a lot of money for local races here. And they spent it all against candidates who ended up winning anyways. And those candidates were never anti-refinery. They were certainly never going to threaten the livelihood of the refineries. But because they would maybe possibly threaten the bottom dollar of corporate brass, corporate made sure that they put $70,000 out there to hopefully not get those people elected. And the worst part was, in my opinion, is that some of the candidates here played into that. They fought against it. And again, that's not something you do in this here. In Whatcom County or Skagit County, you don't do that because refineries are a big part of the livelihood here. And although people like myself who are environmentalists and who are left of center, I understand what part they play in the local economy here. I understand that working with them is better than constantly fighting against them. And hopefully, you know, we've seen a lot of refineries here take on sustainable energy and start doing sustainable. And some of it might be for publicity. I get that. But at least they are trying some things, and they are, you know, I mean, in fact, I know places that years ago were talking about hydroelectric energy and stuff like that long before it even became mainstream. And so there are upsides, and hopefully we'll continue to go down those paths. And like I said, again, it's not exactly like insurance companies, but that's another thing that we talk about here. So that's what happened actually here. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week. But yeah, it was really crazy because I don't even know what the final numbers were, but we had a few votes that literally went a week before we knew who had won. Amazon had paid a lot of money to get Kusama Sawant out of the Seattle City Council, and she was behind Orion for quite a while. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. And then suddenly she surged ahead and she actually won her. So Amazon did not win that election, even though they put out
Thank
a lot of money.
God, fuck Amazon. I say that as somebody who is not literally employed by Amazon, but who does make money through a company that is owned by Amazon, which I hate.
I used to work for Amazon for like not very long, but yeah, so I totally understand.
What was that like? What did you do?
I was like a work from home call center person.
Oh, so you like help customers and shit?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's why it didn't last long.
Wait, how much money do you make doing that?
It was only, at that point, it was only $10 an hour. I would guess it's up to 15 now because I think they pay all their workers 15 an hour now, I think. But I mean, gosh,
if I could do that for just like a few hours a week, I would totally do that.
But I mean, convenient. Yeah, I mean, it is convenient. But I mean, I shop at Whole Foods you know, on a weekly basis, and they're, you know, they're Amazon. So, so I mean, we all are, you know, slaves to the, or prisoners, I guess, to the, to even Amazon. But yes, very thankful still that they couldn't buy the election in Seattle. And a few other notable things here that the affirmative action, in fact, while I'm talking about this, I'm going to look it up to see what was the final vote on that. Amazingly, it wasn't passing in Washington State. You know, and affirmative action was...
What was the thing that's being passed on? You need to explain yourself.
So the act, you know, was rejected. So affirmative reaction sounds like a
roller derby name. Like, oh, I'm affirmative reaction, you know, like,
okay, so it wasn't that, okay. So the measure would have allowed the consideration of being part of a minority group to be a contributing factor for a qualified applicant along with race, sex, and ethnicity. The measure allowed for consideration of age, disability, and honorable discharge or military status. It would have prohibited using factors such as race as the sole qualifier and banned mandatory quotas, but would have allowed state agencies and public colleges and universities to establish diversity goals and timelines. A commission would have been created to direct and oversee compliance. And so the we had signs everywhere that were approve it, and it was saying, you know, reject racism. And people ended up rejecting it. And it's a story that could take up a whole podcast episode. So I suggest that everybody go look up 88. Let me make sure it was what the exact.
Yeah, we'll look it up right now as you say that.
Yeah. So referendum 88. Make sure that you do go and look it up to get more of a behind the scenes look at it. There was a lot of things that happened, even with certain minority groups here, and who some would say, I'll just leave it as a nonpartisan here. Although, of course, I did vote to prove it. Some people believe they're brainwashed by racist groups into getting them to think that approving it was actually the racist thing to do. And it was such a complicated, confusing thing. But I still figured that at the end of the day, the majority of people would, especially with Washington being a more definitely a left-leaning progressive state, I thought it was going to get approved, and it did not. It got rejected. And so I do, like I said, I encourage everyone to go look up Referendum 88 in Washington State. A very interesting story there. But at the end of the day, it did get rejected. Along with a tax as well, that we have been fighting this fight forever regarding tabs in Washington for your car, where this guy, Tim Iman, who is kind of the little troll of Washington, he continually brings this $30 car tab measure onto the ballot so that people will, of course, go, yes, cheaper tabs. And they vote to approve it, even though they know that then we won't have as much money to spend on infrastructure. And don't get me wrong, by the way, sorry that I'm rambling here, everybody, but don't get me wrong, Washington doesn't do the greatest job of prioritizing things, and they don't do the greatest job of explaining to us how they use the taxpayers' money, because I'm, for one, am somebody who is totally okay with paying taxes as long as that money is used in the right, proper way, and we know where the money is going toward, because I understand how it helps the world go around. That being said, people hate taxes, and so they continually vote for $30 tabs, knowing full well the repercussions. And the thing is that the city always ends up, or the state ends up, suing the measure, and then we don't get $30 tabs, and it just is a circle of... And so that happened again. So that was my, at least, I'm sure there's more that I'm missing, but that was my recap mostly from the election here in Washington.
Just to give our listeners a better mental image, when Brandon said, like, it's a whole whatever of, he like put his hands up and he was throwing his hands around and he made
kinda
like
Kermit.
He like pulled his, he like bared his teeth and he's like, you know, yeah, like, it was like a monster, but like more wild.
Imagine the grimace emoji with the Kermit hands.
Yes. Kermit the Frog. Yeah, grimace emoji with Kermit hands. So that is what he is describing.
Yeah. And of course I'm doing it as like,
it's hard, impossible to not like talk about those Kermit hands without doing the Kermit hands gesture.
Totally. So what else we have going on? We have the impeachment hearings been going on. I've been following them slightly, but as you know, as I talked about, it's at the MLS Cup. Lots of things going on that were, to me, more important. Even though I do understand the impeachment hearings are very important. It's funny. I had this thought today, and maybe it's totally off base. Maybe I'm just scared for the future. But I was thinking about the fact that we still have at the border, we still have kids in cages, literally, and families that are like in prisons at the border. And I thought to myself, all the effort that was put into that, maybe there is stuff going on right now, I don't know. But it seems like everybody's just forgotten about that, and that's just heartbreaking to me.
I just saw something the other day that was like 70,000 kids have been taken away.
Right. And it's just heartbreaking to me that it seems like now we've moved on to the new news cycle, right? And I have this fear that's going to become that sometimes, and maybe this is really, you know, what's the word I'm looking for right now? Maybe this is really cynical of me to think, but I have this fear that they will be used as a pawn in the next election by the left, even, because they'll say, well, if we win, we're going to get that border, the border situation taken care of. And yet I just feel like it should have been taken care of already, like regardless. And it's weird to me that we live in this world where that wasn't an impeachable offense. Like we have the Geneva Convention that made sure that prisoners of war and such weren't treated inhumanely. And yet here we are with children and families in cages at the border and just trying to find a better life. And that's just, it's disgusting and sick and humanity is awful sometimes. Mm-hmm. But what's so... That going along with the impeachment is you think to yourself, so what's going on right now is the dealings in Ukraine, which is awful in its own right. And that might be what they end up getting Trump on. But there's this also this other fear in my head that goes, as awful as Trump is this impeachment inquiry, is all this more the fact that all of the establishment politicians, and maybe I'm just thinking too much, but is this more that they're more worried that everything that's been going on for a long, long time is now transparent and they need to get it out? Are they doing this for moral good, or are they doing this because they're scared that all their secrets are on display? And that's what I think worries me, is I want him impeached, yet I'm also worried that you're going to have people like myself, except even more fueled because they're on the right, who are going to say, this guy never stood a chance. Because politicians who aren't politicians are never going to be allowed to be part of that group. And that's why Trump was always doomed from the start. And so it's crazy when you think too much and you think about what's going on right now that you get these weird, crazy thoughts in your head. But that literally legitimately worries me. And because I so badly want him impeached, yet I wonder if actually everybody is doing it for the right reasons. Because we have kids still at the border. And we all forgot about that, it seems like.
Yeah. I think I get what you mean. Like, and I also, like, when I watch the impeachment hearings, and I haven't watched all of the impeachment hearings.
Right.
Because, like, that would be, like, a whole ass day and I got shit to do.
right.
Yeah. But, like, there's certain people, Democrats and Republicans, whenever I hear them speak in one of these hearings, they just piss me the fuck off.
Yeah, no, Adam 100%
Schiff,
with you.
Adam Schiff pisses me the fuck off. I do not like that man at all. Holy shit. He is so obscenely partisan and, like, not in, like, a morally justifiable way. Like whenever he, like, talks to a witness, it's like he's clearly trying to lead them to a very specific answer that sometimes they're just like there was, it wasn't in the impeachment hearings, but it was in a previous hearing, I think the whistleblower testimony, where like he was asking like the witness, who may have been Ambassador Taylor as well, who was called in the impeachment hearings today, he was asking like, do you think that the whistleblower is a partisan hack? Like trying to like get the witness to say, no, I don't think he's a partisan hack. Partisan hack is not a legally defined term. And in the opening statement, the witness made it extremely clear that he was only interested in what like is legal and like what is clearly defined as, and like was interested in giving all the facts that he could, but like, he wasn't going to say, like, oh, I think so-and-so is a partisan hack or isn't a partisan hack. Like, it was ridiculous. Right. But, like, Adam Schiff so clearly came in with, like, this very specific, very specific thing that he wanted. And he was, it was so, like, I had so much secondhand embarrassment. It was cringing so hard.
And because you know that the right-wing pundits like Shapiro and, what's the other, Charlie Kirk, you know that they are waiting for that shit. They're waiting for Schiff to be so blatantly partisan, just like Schumer can be, by the way, because Chuck Schumer is somebody who I can't stand to listen to. And even though I'm not a Pelosi fan, I'm still not. She is so much more tolerable without Schumer. And so ditch that guy. And I still, like I said, still not a fan of hers. Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, those guys, they're all waiting for it. Steven Crowder. And they're all waiting for that kind of shit to happen. And, for someone who, like, when I was younger, you know, and so I mean, like, my late teens, early 20s, when I was really on the anti-W train and anti-war, and, you know, and it was all this, you know, peace signs and whatever. And I remember just being that if it was my way or the highway, I knew better, and that was it. And I didn't have, and so I would argue the point, make myself look silly by the end of it. But in my head, I was still right, so I didn't care how silly I looked. Now, as I've gotten older, I've realized you try to be more careful with your arguments. And the reason why is because you don't want to look stupid. You want your argument to hopefully down the road be sculpted in such a way that people can't find that much wrong with it, or at least you have a good support system behind it. And that, because it at least has credibility and it has justification. And the problem is that you can't have too much support. And with people on both sides of the aisle, Adam Schiff being one of them, and numerous on the Republican side as well, when you have that much support on a constant basis, you no longer care about actually how much weight your argument holds. You just know that as long as people are supporting it, you can say whatever the fuck you want, because as long as a big enough group of people says you're right, we're in this crazy-ass world where it's right. And that's really, really complicated and really, really dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And the contrast between people like that and people like AOC, who, like, clearly have a, like, opinion and a bias and, like, a specific, like, set of... Like, a specific ideological framework that they're working in and are transparent about that. Mm-hmm. And then when they're in the hearings, ask specific factual questions of the witnesses that they can later, if they need to, interpret the way they want to. But in that time, they're, like, not trying to, like... They're not blatantly trying to, like, lead the witness right on, or, like, catch somebody in a trick of words, or, like, imply something, or... Like, they're just trying to get the facts, you know? Like, yeah. And they're just dedicated to that. That's, like... Like, the contrast is just, like, crazy and infuriating.
AOC is clinical with how she does it. She's very, very... She's very clinical with how she does it, and she's very smart with it. Now, of course, I'm sure that you could find some missteps in there somewhere. She does, you know, but she's usually very, very good. But there's a difference between making a mistake and completely recklessly trying to get your point across without any care for how much damage that might do to the long-term goal. And I wish people like Schiff and I wish people like Schumer and these types would remember that sometimes, is that credibility down the road will get us much farther than a headline today about what so-and-so said and what so-and-so got the other person to say and who owned who and blah, blah, blah. Because then you're just treading right down Ben Shapiro path with the owned bullshit. It's just crazy to think that we're going through all of this impeachment stuff. And now, you know, January, I believe the Iowa caucus all of them have changed so much because Washington used to be a caucus. Now it's primary. Anyways, Iowa, I believe, is January or February, if I'm not right. So You know, we're going to more than likely we're going to be going through this election, whether he's still going through impeachment hearings or not. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, I'll be 100% honest. I've been involved and into politics since before I could vote. But I don't know what happens, what the impeachment trial turns into if it goes on further than his presidency. Let's just say he was voted out. Remember, of course, he wouldn't be out of office until January of 2021. But I don't know what happens if the trial is still going on past then. Does it turn into a criminal trial? Does it end because he's out of office? I don't know what happens at that point. And I'll do the research at some point, or somebody will tell me. If anybody I think was hoping, unless somebody strikes a deal where he ends up having to resign because something crazy comes out, which is the more likely scenario I think right now, I would say that we should probably be realizing that keep your eye on the elections, because that's what's going to mean the most. And it's going to mean the most anyways, because we need to make sure we have a Senate and a House that can actually get stuff done anyways, especially if we have a president who is more progressive like Warren or Sanders. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think Trump's going to win?
In 2020? I think that's still a big fear of mine, yeah. But on the other hand, I think you look at places like Texas who have had areas of it who have gone blue that we would have thought that was a state that was never going to go blue. And there have been, you know, historically red spots are now blue. We've seen the blue wave continue to happen even through this off year. Mm-hmm. And so if he does win, I'm calling bullshit. But that doesn't mean that bullshit's not going to happen, because, you know, this is a guy who also said who's also joked in quotation marks about not leaving office or having a third or fourth or fifth even term. So, I don't know if you saw, Which was it, UCLA, I believe? I think it was UCLA. Don Jr. was there with, I believe, his girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle. He was there talking about his new book, Triggered.
Yeah, with Turning Point USA, which is like a right-wing organization.
Yes, Turning Point. They put that on. And he, you know, this somebody speaks up, and there's a lot of tension right now. So I totally understand anybody who would speak up in the crowd, and they, you know, called them out on, I forget exactly what was said, because you can't really hear because of course he had the microphone, can't really hear. But Kimberly gets up and goes, "I think that person was triggered," and I'm just like, "What world are we living in?" That it's like they're simultaneously putting down free thought, as well as promoting a book and the name of the book. And then, by the way, she goes on a tangent afterwards. Dare I say she was triggered. And it really is. Sometimes it really is fucking like Twilight Zone, where you're just going like, you know, when you watch like Hunger Games and shit like that, or like, you know, dystopian movies and shit. And you're just like, wow, those leaders are fucking weird, man. Like, all that's missing is a fucking, like, pink, you know, wig and whatever the hell they all had on in Hunger Games. And, I mean, that's what it feels like. It's like, ugh, it's terrifying sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, creepy gross. But you can quote me on that. It was creepy gross. Yeah, it really is crazy when you think about what we have coming up in 2020. And speaking of which, how many people – here's the question. How many people will you block if they start to use the fact that it's 2020 as in relation to the optimal vision that one can have when talking
about
the new year?
I will block no one, because I don't block people. I think I blocked one person, and it was because they were posting like videos or something of animals getting slaughtered or butchered, and I was like, I just don't need this. Or so it was something like that. But overall, like, I think I've maybe blocked like three people in my entire life.
I don't think I blocked anybody except for the T-Mobile guy, John Legere, because he kept getting his sponsored ads.
Yes! Oh my god, that's actually a great idea. I should totally block him, because like,
can't stand that guy.
His sponsored Twitter posts are infuriating.
The worst. Yeah.
And like, at least be funny, John What's-Your-Face, like, John head of T-Mobile. Like, be funny with your sponsored posts if you're going to inflict them on me.
And I'm like, I don't like you, man.
I would be fine with him as a person if I met him in person, but like, maybe. I'm pretty sure like a staff wrote that. Like,
oh yeah, no. Yeah. For as somebody who's worked in that business before,
who is working in that business, who does
most of those things are written by staff. I have been blocked by somebody. That somebody is actually, believe it or not, somebody who's left wing. And he's actually a very popular person, or at least remotely popular, on the left wing. Stone Kettle is his name on Twitter, and he blocked me.
Why?
Because I questioned the donation from Mnuchin to Kamala Harris's campaign or whatever in California. And I question why, because obviously she didn't investigate when there was things with a business he was involved with. And I'm like, hey, I have no problem with her, but I would like to have more answers on this. And he, like, a few hours later, he, like, put this, like, tweet out to everybody. He's like, if anybody is saying negative stuff about these great liberal candidates we have, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, then I just don't have time for that negativity. I'm blocking you. And then, boom, I was blocked. And I'm like, okay, man. So yeah, Stone Kettle blocked me. The Trumpers have not blocked me.
When you said left wing, I thought you meant leftist, so I get confused.
No, yeah, he's
a liberal, right?
Yes, he's a liberal. He's a former. He's in the military. I forget which branch. He's very, very popular with the. But he's a Hillary supporter, and that type, and did not like it that I guess thought I was just a dumb old Bernie bro, but
which you are, but
which I am. I love Bernie. What else do we have to talk about? I did have something to talk about. This is kind of interesting, and this is down the environmental route, sort of. Not really environment, but it has to do with animals, and I thought this was cool. There was a guy who was going out, not hunting deer, but going to take pictures of deer. He went out to take pictures of deer in the snowy, I forget where it was, actually. I should have had the article, but it was where it's snowing right now, wherever that is, which could be a large portion of the United States. So he's going to take pictures with his dog, and he says so there's not many things to take pictures of around the area that he's in, but there appeared a deer, and the deer had 3 antlers. Yes. So you might be able to even find if you look up 3 antler deer. And this is crazy because you know what I got in my group text with my brother and my cousins today and my sister-in-law? What I got this morning was a little, I believe, golden retriever puppy.
Oh, Narwhal.
Narwhal.
Who has a tail growing out of his forehead.
Head. So a 3 antler deer and a puppy with a tail growing out of his head. So, of course, I being the jerk that I am, I love, you know how much I love puppies, and you know how much I love animals, but I decided, while everybody's like, ah, oh, that's cute, I put in chat, freak, and nobody responded. Yeah, so.
And this is good podcast content?
This is good podcast content. 3 antler deer, puppy with a tail out of his head. Not to mention that there's also, have you
this
ever heard of
like very visual. This feels like very visual content.
Yeah. Well, people look it up. Look up puppy with a tail out of his head. Narwhal is his name.
Narwhal.
Which, by the way, that's a great name, by the way, for a puppy with a tail growing out of his head. I kind of want Narwhal. and even though I called him a freak. And underneath that story, by the way, of the 3 antler deer, there's also the story of one of my favorite animals in this world, a dick-dick, which is a little like almost mouse-sized deer. And they were talking about
a mouse-sized deer.
Mouse.
Oh,
yeah, very tiny.
Oh,
little
it's
deer.
Bigger than a mouse. Okay,
like it's not. Like, it's very small, Aiden. It's a very small deer.
Do you know
deer.
How small mice are? They can fit in your palm.
Yeah, I think this mouse. I think this mouse-sized deer.
I know what a dick. Is. I think you might be exaggerating a little bit.
Hold on a second. This is not.
Yeah, that's like a chihuahua-sized deer.
This is not a dick, actually, I don't think. It's a silverback Chevrotain. aka mouse deer from Vietnam.
Okay, so it's called a mouse deer, but it's not a mouse-sized deer.
It's tiny.
It's a very small, it's like a chihuahua-sized deer. And they're very cute. But I just want to make it clear, because mice can fit in the palm of your, like, you can fit many mice, several mice. You can fit a whole pile of mice.
Depends on the mouse.
Depends. Well,
would we consider a vole a mouse? No, I guess a vole is a vole,
dumbass.
That's true.
Sorry, what did you mean?
No, that was great. We used to have voles in our pumpkin patch, and they used to ruin our pumpkins.
Good for them. Thank you,
everybody, for listening to the Conservationist Conversationalist.
Hi, Key. Like, I'm almost done with my third beer, and I'm a lightweight, so I'm about to, like, pass out. So
yeah, I know.
Like,
I can tell. See, me and Aiden are on video. I can tell. She's about ready to... but that's actually great because we've covered a lot today. I did, and I apologize for being the one who was going on long-winded rants. But you did get to play your banjo, which, by the way, is lovely. I can't wait to hear more. Maybe when it actually is my birthday, you can play Happy Birthday.
When's your birthday?
August 2nd. You've got a long time.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah. Okay, When's your birthday? I forget.
Huh?
When's your birthday? I forgot.
Guess.
I don't know.
Guess what my sign is. Guess what my sign is.
I don't even know what the signs, what the months they are. I know that I'm a lion.
A Leo?
Leo. Pfft, Jesus.
I'm just gonna try
to pick up a vibe from the celestial universe right now. You are a Virgo.
No, my mom is a Virgo though. So
that's what I was picking up. See,
yeah,
so you're
that's gotta be what you were picking up.
You're a Gemini.
No.
You're an Aries.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know what that means or what month that is, but
March 27th.
So that's right before Taurus.
Yes, my younger brother's a Taurus.
How do I know that? Because actually, just because my grandfather I know is a Taurus.
Okay.
And he's April 26th. Yeah. So anyways, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. If you want to listen to music, and by the way, a great podcast is coming up here, the Lemonade Podcast, not this week, but next week. This week's is great too, by the way. It's Ashley Strongarm, who is brilliant. I absolutely love her, and her music's great. Next week is an artist called Bad Mood Rude, and she actually has haunted dolls. And we were talking about her haunted dolls, and it's a fantastic, fascinating story. So Lemonade Magazine Podcast is my other podcast. Make sure you go subscribe to that as well. Aiden's got a podcast out there that's on a hiatus right now, but it's still worth going and listening to the old episodes. It is called Dibs, Welcome to the Family. And so make sure you check those out. I always have the links in the description of this podcast. And you better tell your friends, tell your family, tell all those people to listen to all the podcasts that we
also
make.
I got a gig doing audio editing for a it's called Three Makes Baby. It's available, it should be available on Apple Podcasts now. It's definitely available on Podbean, but it's a podcast about fertility and genetics.
Very interesting. I can't remember what the subject matter was that I was listening to, but it was very, very interesting as well. Woman who is doing the
30-day challenge to try and find her sperm donor.
Yes, that was it.
Nikita, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting stuff. So yeah, and that was called, what was that called again?
It was called Three Makes Baby. It's a play on the phrase baby makes three.
Yes.
It's about three makes three. You need to have it's about third party reproduction. It's
clever. I like it.
Yeah, and it's based on a book by the same name by the person who hired me to make the podcast. And they just came out with a new episode a couple days ago.
I love it. Great stuff. You can listen to that one as well. And you can, if you leave us this is obviously the Conservationist Conversationalist, and you can leave us a rating as well as a comment would be nice. Probably on this one, you'll probably be saying, Aiden, you were drunk. You're going to be saying,
drunk.
Brandon, stop talking about sports. You're going to say, enough of the non-political content, but honestly, we're just winging it right now before the world ends. So you're going to have to just live with it. We love you anyway. Aiden, it's been real. It's been good. Can't say it's been real good.
I can't say it's been real good either. It's been acceptable.
So actually, it has been really good for me lately. It's an old saying. It's been real. It's been good. Can't say it's been real good. Stay up, everybody.
Stay dope.
You're not gonna do the woo?
Woo!
Oh, there we go.